So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing, even when I don't. And I like the sound of starting my own business, Walton Goggins Goggle Glasses. But I'm an actor. I don't know what I'm doing. I needed help. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. I didn't even realize I needed a social media calendar. GoDaddy Aero will take your idea that sounds good and make a business that looks like you know what you're doing. GoDaddy Aero can get your business up and running in minutes. You know what that sounds like? It sounds like a plan. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Aero. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
If you have a podcast and want to monetize it stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Now, the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
Hey, it's 12:03 on Tuesday afternoon, November 25th. Good afternoon. Thanks for joining us on the Noon Business Hour. I'm Rob Hart. Best Buy is increasing its sales and earnings outlook for the rest of the year, while Abercrombie & Fitch is beating analysts' expectations. We'll cover that in our next segment. But first, there's a boatload of economic data out today. Joining us on the Village of Bedford Park business line, reminding you to bring your business home, is Paul Christopher, head of global investment strategy at the Wells Fargo Investment Institute in St. Louis. Paul, thank you for joining us today. And I feel like, Paul, that maybe you should just be like the one guest the entire hour as we go through all of these economic reports line by line, because there's so much to discuss. But the caveat for some of these reports is that they're backlogged. These were reports that would have been released many weeks ago if not for the government shutdown. So before we dive into the numbers, is this September data relevant to today's policy discussion?
Yes, it is, Rob. And I might add that if you add an economist on for an entire hour, your show's ratings might not look very good. So I'll stick to 4 minutes. But if I had to summarize,
oh, come on, you're great, Paul. You make me sound smart.
Yeah, well, if it had to be a summary statement, just an elevator speech, I'd say today's data is a deluge, yes. But what it shows is the economy is slowing, but it's not crashing. It's not running off the road. We do think that there's a soft patch here. It's complicated by the fact that consumers really don't see a very strong job market. But again, it's not one that's collapsing. And at the same time, you've got lower gasoline prices and housing price increases have gone flat. So those are both good things. We think going forward, once we get to the early part of next year, you'll see some stronger economic momentum.
Now, on the producer price index, wholesale prices rose less than expected in September. What does that mean for the overall inflation picture, especially as we zero in on the December Fed policy meeting, where chances are they will cut rates once again?
Yeah, boy, the markets have been all over the place the last couple of weeks, so thinking, no, there's not going to be a rate cut. Maybe it's a coin flip. Now we're back to thinking that there's going to be a rate cut in the markets. What the data really show is that inflation, even though it's above the Fed's 2% target rate, it's still pretty well contained. I mean, I mentioned gasoline prices down 10 or 15 cents over the summer. Housing prices relatively flat. Producer prices not really jumping out of the box at us. So inflation is contained enough, and the labor market is enough of a concern that we think they'll cut rates in December by a quarter point.
And let's talk about that the state of the employment market, because ADP, the private payroll processor, showing that job losses are starting to accelerate, that private companies lost an average of 13,500 jobs a week over the past 4 weeks. And on top of that, if you are looking for a job right now, if you spend just 5 minutes on LinkedIn, you know, people are saying that it's just taking longer to find find that next thing, whatever that next thing may be. And that's probably driving that consumer confidence number we saw today.
Yeah, absolutely. It's driving the consumer confidence number. Wouldn't put too much concern by that or trust by that consumer confidence number. It is notoriously volatile and not really a good indicator of what markets are going to be doing. But it is a good indicator that households do feel like jobs are getting harder and harder to find. The layoffs that you mentioned, yeah, they're there. You can count them, but they're not extreme. Again, an unemployment rate of around 4.4, 4.5% is probably easily 4 percentage points lower than what you'd expect in a recession. So again, a slowdown, yes, but not riding off the rails, not the job market, not the economy.
Paul Christopher, head of global investment strategy at the Wells Fargo Investment Institute in St. Louis. Thank you for joining us today. Coming up, Best Buy, looking at a strong finish to the year.
It's 60 minutes of financial planning. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Retail is in focus ahead of the holiday shopping season as Best Buy forecasts a surge in shoppers upgrading their tech while the comeback at Abercrombie & Fitch continues. We welcome in Bob Phibb, CEO of The Retail Doctor, based in New York. Bob, thank you for joining us today. And around this time of year, your head can spin trying to make predictions about how the holiday shopping season is going to go. On the one hand, you have consumer confidence showing that consumers are under strain. On the other hand, those very same consumers are getting ready to limber up their credit cards for all of the Black Friday sales this week, and Best Buy leads the list.
Yes, and they're actually increased their guidance for the rest of the year. So although it's only up 1%, it still is good because they've had several quarters of declines, and that's great. But I can already tell you what's going to happen, Rob, in the news. I can tell you that on Monday, the story will be, oh, shoppers didn't go to Black Friday. Oh, it's a bust. No one's buying. And the next week will be, merchants are worried. They have to cut the prices even more. And then it'll be like, oh, my gosh, lump of coal for Christmas will be the third week. And then somewhere buried in the second week of January was like, oh, sales rose about 3 or 4%. That's the way it always is, man.
It's a tale as old as time. And the most interesting thing when we talk about Best Buy, and I'm just thinking back to when I was a kid, when if you were buying a piece of electronics, that was a major purchase. And that TV that weighed about the size of that weighed about as much as a Volkswagen was going to sit in your living room for a decade, if not longer. And now you can spin those flat screens around like nobody's business, and they're on an inflation adjusted basis like a fraction of what they used to cost.
Yeah, and that's the beauty of all of it, because the reason it's a fraction is because it also wears out quicker and people get bored with it quicker. So, the market is always there. I want to make sure that we also mentioned about Abercrombie, because, Abercrombie is a brand that was written off for years with their CEO had all these horrible things going on and the culture was bad, and they get a new CEO and then they say, we're going to review everything, and they do a documentary on Netflix. And sales just went up and up and up. And it's been down the last two quarters, 7% and then 5%. But they've put a lot more money into Hollister. They're opening more stores, and they expect that brand is what's going to lift them higher, because they're saying that their sales were 15%. That's huge. And they're kind of like, Hollister's kind of like, I think, and Abercrombie are kind of like what Gap would have been in the 80s or 90s, much more of a go-to store than a niche that they might have been at one time.
I was going to say, Bob, my high school years coincided with the era in which Abercrombie & Fitch was basically ruled our world. And I pursued a career in radio, Bob, because I was never cool enough to shop at Abercrombie. So here I am now. And so maybe there's a little bit of trauma from the late 90s and the early 2000s seeping in. But how much of Abercrombie's turnaround is kind of acknowledging past misdeeds, as you said, when they were riding high, there was a lot of bad behavior going on? And how much of this is just a savvy investment in growing brands?
Well, that's a great point. I think the CEO had planned to invest in the stores and the merchandise. And in this last quarter, they're saying that they've got some older merchandise that they have to mark down. So they made some wrong bets on that. But no, they have been investing in both brand stores. And, that spooky dark store that you used to go into and everything is very spotlit and dark and mysterious, that probably fit in the 90s. but it has no place in the 20s. And that light and airy feeling that they've picked up, I think, is showing promise. And more importantly, it's got legs. You know, people are, it's not just one season. They're still, if you look at what they did 4 years ago to what they're doing now as a brand, they are on a pace to be unstoppable.
Bob Phibb, CEO of The Retail Doctor, based in New York. Find him online at theretaildoctor.com. Thank you for joining us today. Coming up next, making sure your side gig is okay with your main employer, especially during the holiday season.
Money talks as the WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Side gigs are increasingly common for many workers, but should you disclose yours to your primary employer? Policies differ, and even innocent overlap can raise concerns if your boss feels caught off guard. Joining us to discuss is Rick Cobb, founder of the workplace consulting firm To Discern, based in Chicago. And Rick, once again, this is an issue that there's no clear-cut answer. It really depends on the workplace.
Yeah, let's address an issue that doesn't get discussed when we talk about this. In the last 50 years, from 1974 to 2024, the purchasing power of the dollar has gone down from a dollar to 16 to 19 cents equivalent in terms of what you can buy. So you have a 525% cumulative inflation over 50 years, and most of that is healthcare, housing, and education costs. So most families who have two earners both work. And they're, you know, the data out there says that 40% of the people out there probably have some sort of a side gig. I'm guessing that if you could really do a good statistical analysis, it's even higher than that. So the motivation's there. Now, the question is, should you do it? And what are the risks, right? That's the issue. In Illinois, we have a right to work state, which means, employ at will, sorry, not right to work. Employ at will, which means the companies can say, okay, we don't need you anymore. On the other side of it, though, they passed a law in 2022 that makes it illegal for an employer to put in your contract, a written agreement that says that you cannot work for someone else. They can put it in a policy, but they can't actually ask you to sign a document.
And it seems like the two areas could be problematic is that if your outside gig, let's say you're consulting on the side or you're providing some sort of advice, is that you could be getting in the way of your company's clients. You could be working with a competitor. You could be in a situation in which you have to divulge proprietary information to someone else, or you're doing your side gig on work hours and using work equipment to accomplish your job.
Yeah, it's interesting, is that we've talked about this quiet quitting syndrome that's come up where people don't work as hard as they used to. And part of quiet quitting may be actually quiet quitting part time and doing something else at the same time. I'm not advocating that people put their primary job at risk. I think that you have to be smart about that. Non-competes are harder to enforce, but still you can't go after somebody's competition. You can't be making money off of customers that you have access to because of your full-time job. And you have to look at the handbook and the policies that exist. There are some companies where they may even consider it okay. I know a couple of companies where they hired somebody and the existing hire had previous customers unrelated to them, then they were allowed to keep them. But that's upfront discussion. That's not something that you do and say, hey, surprise.
So in other words, all you have to do is ask. Rick Cobb, founder of the workplace consulting firm To Discern in Chicago.
So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Aero. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.
I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor, ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Good afternoon. I'm Rob Hart. Markets are higher today. Joining us on the Village of Bedford Park business line, reminding you to bring your business home, is J.J. Kinahan, soon to be Senior Vice President, CBOE Global Markets in Chicago. J.J., thank you for joining us today. And how much of today's rally is supercharged by not only interest rate optimism, but potential moves at the Fed going forward? And how much of this is reacting to what are now two-month-old economic reports?
Well, I think the two-month-old economic reports take a little bit of a backseat on this one, to be honest with you, Rob. I think, as you said, you know, the fact is that the interest rate probabilities were cut probabilities for the December meeting were at about 50% just about a week ago. And as of you and I talking right now, they're at a 76% probability. So that's really changed a lot. It's one of the reasons I think stocks have hung in there. But I think there's one other thing, and that is the retailers that came out today really came out with nice earnings, and that's followed a path of good earnings. So you had, Dick's Sporting Goods, Burlington, Kohl's, all come out with really nice earnings. That's on the back of stores like TJ Maxx coming out with nice earnings. Walmart had pretty decent earnings. So I think we're really starting to see that this could be perhaps a better holiday season than expected in terms of spending. So I think that that's also been a really, really good bright spot in the market today. Abercrombie and Fitch up almost 35% today.
It seems like analysts are not as concerned about inflation figures. And of course, the producer price index coming in a little softer than expectations. And that the worry is shifting over to a labor market that is cooling off. You don't want to say it's deteriorating, but it's nowhere near as hot as it was a couple of years ago.
No, it's not even in a team photo on that one, Rob. You're right on inflation, but take a look at the fact that the absolute number one thing that it hits most people's pocketbooks immediately, and that is the price of gasoline. Well, the fact of the matter is, crude oil has been under control. It's down another $1.04 today as we speak. So again, the price of gasoline coming down, heading into a weekend where we know more people are traveling than ever, is certainly going to help keep inflation under control. Yes, we can cite some instances where prices are higher, such as coffee, et cetera. But overall, the inflationary pressure has certainly been lower. And to your point about jobs, I do think that is the most important thing right now. And it's really a very odd time. It's not, yes, we've had some layoffs of decent size, particularly in the technology sector. But overall, I think we're at almost a stalemate, similar to what we saw in the housing market, in that people aren't necessarily firing people, but they're not necessarily hiring people either, as everyone's trying to figure out what's going on with AI. So I think that you may continue to see this pattern for another 6 months or so.
If the Trump administration gets its pick for Fed chair, and it seems like they will, it'll definitely be a more dovish Fed going forward. And what is the consensus for rate cuts in 2026? It seemed like three had been penciled in so far as the prediction markets were concerned. Could we potentially see more?
Well, we could see more depending who it is. But again, a lot of this will also have to do with, numbers that come in at the end of the year, how we start out next year in terms of where people are at. You know, the biggest fear in the market right now is, of course, that the and the Wall Street Journal had a good article on it today. The fact that we become so reliant on AI spending to keep the economy going. And at the end of the day, I think the questions that have been asked over the last two earnings cycles, as besides incredible search engines and some really cool things, what are we getting on a return on investment? Because there's so much money being thrown at it. And the return has not quite returned what I think people would have expected it has by now.
J.J. Kinahan, soon to be Senior Vice President at CBOE Global Markets in Chicago. Thank you for joining us today. Coming up next in Travel Tuesday, using the Thanksgiving table for family vacation planning.
The only program dedicated to currency events. You're listening to the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
It's Travel Tuesday, sponsored by Preflight Airport Parking. Thanksgiving is a perfect time to plan a multi-generational trip and make sure everyone, kids included, are involved in the planning process. With us to discuss is Mark Wolters, Wolters World Travel and Culture. Find him on YouTube and also an Associate Professor of Business Administration at the University of Illinois Geese College of Business in Urbana-Champaign. Mark, thank you for joining us today. And Thanksgiving stories, you know, annual tradition Thanksgiving stories, you know, how can you talk to your relatives of different political persuasions over the Thanksgiving table, stuff like that. This is the fun kind of conversation, Mark, and this is, you know, how do you propose and then plan a multi-generational trip that, if pulled off correctly, can be a core memory for everyone involved?
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's the best thing about the multi-generational trips. As much as my kids love talking about, you know, making cookies with grandma and stuff, they talk about when we were in Rwanda and the monkeys were chasing us there, and we were in Spain and doing things. It really gives you a chance for your kids to really connect with your grandparents in a whole different way, but also you as a, like a parent to do the same thing. And what's great about it is you get everybody involved in this, because one of the big mistakes people make is they think, oh, it's grandma's vacation because grandma's paying, right? And that leads to a lot of resentment. So you want to make sure you get everybody involved, because once everybody's involved, you get that buy-in. Now everybody's excited, not just that teenager who's like, oh, why are we going? Now the teenager picks a spot, now everybody's pumped to go.
Now, you can still make cookies with grandma, but have you made cookies with grandma on top of an active volcano? That's the type of multi-generational trip we're talking about here. Or maybe it could be something a little more low-key.
Yeah, and that's just it. Like, it doesn't have to be a big trip to Europe or something like that. You would take the family up to Wisconsin and go to the Dells, maybe a weekend away, just to have those kind of place to make those memories. And what's nice is if you're going to be doing this, you're going to plan some time, realize it's okay that you don't all have to be together at the same time. Just like you have the kid table and the adult table at Thanksgiving, you can have parts where, oh, the kids are going to do this today, the moms are going to do this today, the dads are going to do this today. You can have that separate thing, because if you all force everyone to do the same thing the whole time, that's where some of that resentment can come in. So if you kind of break it up and let people do kind of their own thing in groups, that really makes it a lot more kind of like everybody gets to do something they enjoy on their trip.
Now, if you're at a big family Thanksgiving dinner on Thursday, it may be one of the few opportunities in a year in which everybody is under the same roof and at the same time. So you have to be purposeful in your discussion. So what are some things you could talk about in a way that you really maximize just having everybody together to get them all on the same page?
Well, there's a few really big topics, because when you have issues when you travel, one of the things is people feel they didn't have a voice, you know, so make sure everyone's talking about the things they'd like to do. Because if you're going to go to Italy, yes, there is the Colosseum, but maybe someone wants to learn how to make pizza, you know, or make pasta. And so get those ideas out there, things that people would like to do. Another really important thing is to kind of talk about the money side of it, because if grandma's paying for it all, great. But if grandma's not paying for it all, we have to realize people are in different economic situations. So it's good to have that talk. Like, you know what? Maybe we're not going to stay at a five-star hotel. Let's stay at like a B&B or an Airbnb or something like that, so we can kind of mitigate some of the costs by cooking. And having some of those tough questions early lets people know, it's like, do I want to be a part of this or not? And then that's going to help you get through, because then it's just the fun stuff. It's funny. What do we want to do, macarons in Paris and learn how to make those cookies? Or are we going to go to Greece and make Greek cookies there, you know? So it's going to be a really fun kind of thing.
And then on top of that, if you have this discussion now and you're talking about a trip that will take place maybe in the spring or the summer, you have plenty of time to figure out how you will pay for airfare to get you to this destination.
Exactly. And that's one of those things I think is important, is let people, you know, some people like to have everybody flying together, but we don't realize that people might have different credit cards, different points. And so what you might want to have is, hey, let's all plan to get there on Monday the 13th, right? And so then people, they want to fly United from Chicago, or maybe they're Delta people, they're going via Atlanta, or maybe they already live someplace and they're easier for them to drive there. Just have a general idea of like, hey, this is the day we all want to be in, and then the fun starts the next day. So people have that kind of window to get in, which can make it more affordable for everybody to find the right kind of transportation for them.
And this is, Mark, consider this a value add. So the next time you are watching Home Alone, just understand that the McAllisters are going on a multi-generational trip to Paris. And they just forgot one thing. That's all.
That's all. Just one thing. Just one little guy.
Mark Walter.
Well, you don't do that on your trip.
Oh, no, no. Because unlike the movie, which was just a wacky series of misunderstandings, if I forgot a child at home, I would go to prison. So just remember that. Make sure your head count is accurate. Mark Walters, right. Walters World Travel and Culture. Find him on YouTube. Also find him at the University of Illinois.
Because money matters. This is the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
Home sellers are pulling listings at the fastest pace in nearly a decade as weak demand and falling prices stall the market. We welcome in Drew Wishover, founder and owner of the Inspired Title Group in Chicago. Drew, thank you for joining us today. And is there any common threads connecting some of these homes that are being pulled off the market? Are they just the homeowners or the sellers are just simply asking too much?
Happy Thanksgiving, Rob. And yes, I think there are some factors that are contributing to this. We're approaching the season of the year that typically, things happen, a lot slower. I mean, nobody wants to move in the middle of the winter. It gets colder. And I think it's also that there's a lot of folks who, their prices were too high. And the buyers who, are out there are kind of uncomfortable with paying that higher price, especially with the economy being what it is. They're uncertain as to, what they're going to do.
Now, there were two homes near me that sold recently. One sat on the market for a long time and at a figure substantially lower than the opening number. And then another one, it was clearly a flip, and it seemed like the flipper got full freight for it. So if you do want to sell your house and you want to make sure you get close to your asking price, what are some things that you should do to make sure that house is ready for sale?
You're definitely going to have to make sure that some of the upgrades and some of the fixes and cosmetic issues maybe that are typical of a house who has been on the market for a longer period of time versus maybe one who's been flipped, everything in there is new. So, you're competing against new. So likelihood of that house getting the full ask for it or close to it, certainly more typical than if you have your house and you need to paint it and the carpet's got to be updated, et cetera, because it doesn't seem like these sellers today are interested in taking the lower prices, although they are lowering their prices themselves, but they're not interested in taking some of these lower offers.
Is this also part of a necessary readjustment of the housing market? Because I'm sure you have encountered this as well, that there you see some houses for sale and then you look at the asking price and then you say, well, this house is not up to date. It's on a busy street. It's kind of small. And clearly the free market feels the same way.
Yeah, I can't agree more. I think that this is literally a, coming to reality piece where the, folks who have sold their house for tens and $20,000 over what the ask price was, I think it's a reality check now when you kind of, siphon through all of those people and now you get to the houses that are left and you're going, all right, well, guess what? Your house probably isn't, valued at what your neighbor's was because you haven't done some of these things or you haven't upgraded or whatever that may be. But I do believe this is a price adjustment to kind of bring things back to a realistic number again.
Drew Wishover, founder and owner of the Inspired Title Group in Chicago. Thank you for joining us today.
So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing, even when I don't. And I like the sound of starting my own business, Walton Goggins Goggle Glasses. But I'm an actor. I don't know what I'm doing. I needed help. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. I didn't even realize I needed a social media calendar. GoDaddy Aero will take your idea that sounds good and make a business that looks like you know what you're doing. GoDaddy Aero can get your business up and running in minutes. You know what that sounds like? It sounds like a plan. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Aero. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money? Still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house, something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vienne and Sabrina Deanna Roga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes of, a Crime House original.
Crimes of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.